Good morning. Good morning, one and all. As we call the masses forward, it's the standard joke. Yeah, we're having mass. No, that's next weekend. Yeah. Remind me of that again during announcement section. Let's get started this morning with a word of prayer as always. Bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the privilege to come together to worship you. Heavenly Father, we live in troubling times as more and more of the world turns their back on you. Heavenly Father, we know that each and every time that we can assemble peacefully and know that there's going to be no repercussion from us coming together to worship you, we just have to praise you and thank you for that tremendous privilege that most of us have been given all of our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that that we might continue that privilege in our country. And Heavenly Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to our Lord and Savior and in the power and work of your Spirit. For it's in Christ's name that we pray, sir. Amen. We have some busy scheduled this morning. We're going to have a report from Pastor Faisal. Faisal rhymes with castle from Pakistan. And he's wound up. I'm telling you, he's wound up. He got to speak at the conference we were at this weekend only a couple of times, and every time he would stand up to speak, they'd tell him, "You only have 7 minutes. You only have 2 minutes. You only have a couple of minutes." And man, we're about to turn him loose. We'll be lucky to get. I hope nobody has a pot roast on today, okay? Because once he gets going, we're gonna have to rein him in, I'm afraid. So. But let's start this morning with a word of song. If you would all turn to page 281, in keeping with our theme today of missions and our report from Faisal, we're going to sing "We've a Story to Tell." Off while I sing. Let's see. So announcements this morning, of course, Herman is in Arizona with John Hintz and company and teaching there. That's Herman's idea of a vacation. Go and teach someplace else, right? So please keep him and Judith in your prayers for safe travel and for the message that he gives there, for the fellowship that this gives us with another church, another body of believers. It's a wonderful thing that we can have that union together. It's because of that very relationship with John Hintz's church that we have the blessing of supporting and knowing Fassel and Kerry and their great mission in Pakistan that we're going to hear about today. And this weekend was the Gospel for Muslims organization has a yearly convention for Muslim background believers. We had a tremendous time at that. I'm going to give you some more information about that coming up today. And but it's this opportunity has already borne fruit. We have a couple of extra people today because of it. And the really good news is they're both named Phil, just like me. Yeah, got Phil from the youth group that joined us yesterday, Philip Benavides, and a gentleman we were honored to meet at the table in the back, Phil Richardson. So pretty soon you're not going to be able to swing a cat without hitting a Phil around here. All right? We'll keep working on that. We can't evangelize the world, so apparently we're going to concentrate on this one name group. I mean, yeah. So we have any other announcements? We have next week is communion. We'll do our normal fellowship luncheon. Is there a theme for the luncheon this month? Just bring some food, okay? So we can eat and fellowship together after communion next Sunday. Yes, sir.
So, big Thanksgiving that Shana and Barry Wise. They got married yesterday.
Awesome.
Up in Southwood Bible Church in Tulsa, which is a group that we've been working with. They've been counselors at the camp for us a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up getting married yesterday, and it was a beautiful ceremony.
Awesome, that's awesome. And another example of relationships with outside groups and how that blesses us. You got to do that ceremony, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, congratulations to them. And any other announcements coming up? We finished our fundraising glut for the week or for the month. Let's see, we had three of them in a row. We had one canceled, and then we got the flower sale. What's the next one coming up?
Liberty Diner.
Liberty Diner. When is that going to be?
May or June.
May or June. Yeah.
May. Next month.
Yeah. Before summer camp. We just know we got to get it in before summer camp. Be on your toes, guys. We got another one coming at you. Okay. All right. So then if we have no more announcements, how about a prayer request this week? Yes, sir, Cameron.
We have finals coming up.
God, yes. for both our college students and our high school students as well, right? You have a final coming up too? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Mackenzie is not feeling well and her mom and dad are traveling. So.
Absolutely. Mackenzie, of course, still just turned in her Holter monitor, and I don't know if they've gotten a report on that, but now she's got some cold or some other illness, and she doesn't need another thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you're worried about your heart, you don't need a cold or anything else messing with the results or the progress of recovery there. So please keep Mackenzie on prayer list in your prayers. We've got an extensive prayer list, right? Do you all get that in the email? You know, if you haven't got time to sit down and pray for each one of those things on that list, and I know what a busy life we all have. I have several of them myself, it seems like. Not just one busy life, several busy lives myself. But at least please try to take time to read through that list. And as you pray for all those on our list, you know, maybe the one that needs the most will come to your mind at that time, you know. At least try to take time to read through that mail list. Poor Leslie has to compile it every week and send it out. At least you could do is read through it one time. Yeah, okay. Let's see. No other further prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Amanda McEnroe. And so just safe travel, that she ends well. She said her classes have just been astronomically harder than in the States. So just prayers for her.
They're all in Spanish.
Yeah, all of her classes are in Spanish.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Tremendous. That's awesome. That's immersion language training there. Yeah, that's how I learned too. The languages I know, they dropped me in the middle of the country and didn't. Yeah, when you get hungry, you're going to learn how to say, "Where's the restaurant?" I tell you what, it's something. Yeah. I know how to say, "Where's the bathroom?" in 12 different languages. Yeah, that's it. You got to get the necessities down. Well. Great. Well, let's stop and remember these immediate prayer requests as all those others on our prayer list before the throne of God this morning. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together to remember our fellow believers in their trials and tribulations. Heavenly Father, we pray for the strength of their faith and for their ability to come through these difficulties in the power of your Spirit and by the grace of your love, Heavenly Father. We pray for Mackenzie's health. We pray for our students, both in college and in high school. Lord, we pray that they might do their best on their testing and that your plan for their lives may be advanced through it, that they might recall all they've studied and do their best. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Herman and Judith. We pray for their safe travel and their safe return to us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Herman's teaching will be a blessing to all that he comes in contact with. We have, Heavenly Father, we pray that all the activities of our church and all those that we pray for might be filled with your Spirit and might be glorifying to our Lord and Savior. For it's in his precious name that we pray, sir. Amen. Well, I guess the next order of business is our offertory. We are reminded, as we are every week, that you're not required to give. Please don't give begrudgingly or because you feel there's a requirement of God to give. Please, this is an opportunity, a faith opportunity of you to support the ministries and missions that our church supports, as well as just the mundane rent and things that go on here, right? So with that in mind, I would like to point out before we pass the plate here that after we finish with this, we're going to put one of the offertory plates in the back on the table beside the material that we brought for Fassel and Carey. And if you have are so inclined to make a small donation for Grace Bible Church Pakistan, the plate will be back there for you at the end of class, okay? So, Or a large one, yes, yeah, or a large one. And but the one that's coming before you now, that one's for us, and theirs will be back there. So if you need to make a distinction there, okay. Let's say a word of prayer for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this tremendous opportunity that we have to do something that's totally antithetical to this world. This world says we work hard, we earn what we keep, and we do with it what we will. And Heavenly Father, it's not according to the world that we would give that which we've received and just seemingly in the eyes of the world throw it away. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for the opportunity to and the knowledge to know that that which we give is given back to you, that you what you've given to us so graciously. And Heavenly Father, we're blessed and ask that you would use each and every offering this morning to the glorification of our Lord and the sustaining of our church. For it's in Christ's name that we pray, sir. Amen. We need a bigger congregation. Can you catch your breath during that offertory? Goes right through, right? Yeah. Let's see. If you would, please rise and turn to page 283, and we're going to sing another beautiful hymn in keeping with our theme of evangelism and mission works. I do too. Do we need to probably do this one for you one time? Have you heard this one right? You want to give it a run through, Wes? Okay. Anyway. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Did you hear the words of those two songs as we sang them? Were you able to pay attention to the tremendous doctrinal content of these old hymns? I love them so much because they teach us so much, you know. And every once in a while you'll hear one of the modern songs that revamps one of those old ones or that generally has good doctrinal content. But, man, those two hymns told the story that is our commission, is our job, what we have been charged to do, and that's take the gospel to the rest of the world. And we're going to look at a couple of verses this morning about that charge, and hopefully look at this opportunity honestly, and then we're going to get a report from someone who takes this charge of spreading the word of God very seriously, and we'll see the great seriousness of that in his report. And if he doesn't tell you, I will. But let's start with another word of prayer, that we may have the eyes to see all that the Spirit has to reveal to us in his word this morning. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne of grace. Once again, we need it because we haven't got the eyes to understand the depth of your plan, the wonder of your word. Heavenly Father, we need the power of your Spirit and his eyes that we might look to your word, and that we might not just see words on a page or understand a verse before us. Heavenly Father, we pray that God the Holy Spirit will convict our souls, change our hearts, renew us, that we might be charged to do his work in our lives, both locally and abroad. Heavenly Father, we ask these things that we might be used to glorify our Lord and Savior, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's see. I probably give you three guesses as to which passage we're going to be turning to this morning. Any of you who know the Great Commission know that it's in Matthew 28, right? Matthew 28. And we're going to get right to it, skip right down to it and look at 16. Start at 16, please. And I want you to have something in mind here as we look to this. This is after the resurrection of our Lord. Okay? This is not something that you can say, well, that's just something he told the disciples to do while he was here. This is not something that you can say, well, you know, that was part of that time or that age, and is it really for us? Okay? This is our risen Lord. And this is the dawn of the age of the church. This is the start of the church age, literally here. And we pick it up in 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. He told them he was going to meet him here. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," right? Now, this is the resurrected Lord. He is appearing to them in glory. Still, some of them were doubtful. That's the story in another section, right? And despite the fact that he's risen from the dead, they wanted to say, "Well, that can't happen," you know, right? They had to understand that this is our risen Lord in glory that they're looking at. So that's the doubt having gone by. And he says to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's because he's done the work that God the Father has sent him to do. And he's paid the price for all the sins of mankind. And so he has been glorified and given authority over all of heaven and all of earth. This is our Lord and Savior. Our personal Savior is in authority over all the heavens and all the earth. Right? A lot of us are impressed with connections that we make on earth, right? I have a friend I tease about that. Yeah, I know a guy. He can help us out with that, right? Okay. Because we know that if we know somebody and has authority or finance or power and can make a decision that can benefit us, man, we're gonna get in there and talk to that guy or that person, right? Well, we're wasting our time when we think about those connections on earth and cultivating those, when we stop and think that we have a direct connection with one who has been given authority and power over all the heavens and all the earth, right? To do, but he hasn't just done that. He hasn't just got that connection because it's for our personal benefit, which it is. But he has given us a job to do, right? He isn't just going to bless us and say, "Okay, you're blessed. Have a nice day," right? He's going to charge us with something. He's going to say, "Because we have a connection and I have all this power, I have all the authority over heaven and earth, I'm going to give you something to do. I'm going to give you a command, a charge that you've got to take care of." He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Christ has given us the command that we are to spread the glorious grace gift that we have been given in him. What is the thing that he commanded us to do? All together now. Yeah, how do we get into this plan in the first place? Yeah, we simply believed in Christ, right? And that's the command that he's given us, to go and spread, to tell others of Christ's love and his sacrifice and his glorification, and that they have the ability to make that connection just like we have it, simply by their faith. That's the glorious good news, and we're told to spread it to all the nations, right? And We just had a wonderful slam camp a couple of weeks ago. Seems like yesterday, right? And we told our young people, you know, missions, you don't have to go to China for missions. You don't have to go to Pakistan for missions. You got plenty of mission right here around you in the good old USA. Your neighbors, the people you go, you work with, the people you go to school with, you don't, and the thing that you're charged to do is to demonstrate to them Christ's love, to be a light just like Christ was on this earth, so that when they see you, they want to know, what is that connection that you have? What is it that gives you that grace and light in your life? And when they come with that question, or when they see that, or they see that difference, they see the love of Christ in your life, there's your chance to say, all I did was believe in the Lord, as Jesus is my Lord, because He saved me, because He did all the work to give me a relationship with God. And it's simply my faith that gives me that relationship, and you can have it too, if only you'll believe in Jesus and His work, right? And it's a simple plan, and it's something that Christ told the disciples to do, right? Now, here we sit some 2,000 years later. Did the disciples do that? Did they do that job? Must have, because here we are, right? Somebody told somebody who told somebody else who told someone else 2,000 years later. Somebody told us. Somebody loved us and told us, right? And that's the plan of God unfolding. And it can't stop with us, right? We've got to be a part of continuing that mission to tell others, to demonstrate to others love, and to tell them the source of that love is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? And seek to learn the Word of God. We study the Word of God so that we might know deeper and greater that tremendous love given to us. And we're with the hope that knowledge, that understanding of God's grace and the work of Christ in our life is going to become a light that others see, is going to become a means for us to evangelize and spread His Word, and grow our relationships, not just in our church, but in our work life, in our home life, in relationships with other churches and other peoples, right? All the nations. Now, that word for nations, right, that we tend to think of nations as God bless America and Mexico, and, you know, there's a nation over here and a nation over there, but that really, that word isn't a national political word, right? That word is ethos. That word is ethnic, right? All the peoples of the world, all the ethnic groups of the world. And, you know, the world exists in ethnic groups by God's plan, right? Since the Tower of Babel, all the languages and individual groups of people, since Ham, Shem, and Japheth went their separate ways, there have been different colors and different sizes and different language groups of people all over the earth. And that had spread to the entire earth by the time Christ came, and He said, now go get them, right? And that's what the mission work is all about. We don't want to send people. In my view of mission work, it's not to take a vacation. And I've known many of these kind of missionaries that go to a foreign land and really live quite well, you know, as the highest in the highest economic social status of that place, and tell everybody that they need to stay poor but believe in Jesus, you know. And do a great job or have a great time in a foreign place. And really, that isn't the command we're given as in missions. We're told to go there and be those people, right? Be all things to all men. And when I look at missionaries and having been a missionary myself and think of who I might want to donate my dollar to and pray for, I look for that model of people who will go there and be among those people, who live like those people, not above them and lording over them, but be with those people and demonstrate to them Christ's love and lead them in that way to a saving relationship with Christ. And of all the missionaries that we've supported, I can't think of a better example of that than Fassel and Carrie John. And I really, each and every time I think about those guys and pray for those guys, I get kind of choked up, because I know that each and every day they are in Pakistan, they are under threat of their very lives, because they're there to spread the word of God. Now that's a missionary. And you know, we've heard reports from Fassel before and Carrie, and they talk about the things that go on and the wonderful spread of the word and their fellowship and the children that they get to teach. And they hardly ever even mention the fact that somebody could come and kill them any day. And each and every day that we have them in country is a great sigh of relief for me. And each and every chance that we get to hear from them is a tremendous blessing. And so this morning I would like to introduce to you, if you have not met him before, Brother Fassel John, who's much agreed that his lovely wife could not be with him today. But we're going to take a few moments this morning, or the rest of the morning, and hear from him and get a report of what's going on in Pakistan. And please, let's give him a round of applause. Let's see if we can get this thing going. It's going to advance it back and forth, okay? Did it come up? Okay. I'll get the light in the back. And you might want to tell them about these thingies, okay? Oh, yeah. The mic.
One, two, three, okay. Okay. Why not? Let's pray and ask God to lead my mind and my tongue and inner being for your sake and my sake, so we can understand what He wants to communicate and share through these slides. Heavenly Father, we are so humble that You are the majestic one, You are the holy one, You are the almighty God. Consider us Your children. And we are grateful for Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who just humbled Himself and come on this earth for our sake, to live among us like a sheep, so He can smell like us, so He can taste what we taste, so He can suffer what we suffer, so He can identify and saying, because I love you. The old planet, He can say, yes, that's the reason. So Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us and help me to communicate what You want to communicate for the one purpose, so we may know the depth and the love of Jesus Christ alive in our hearts, so we may be shiny star in a dark world. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. It's been a wonderful time with Brother Phil and Sister Pat. And awesome time at the Gospel of the Gospel Convention for the Gospel of Muslim, for the Muslims. And we got to experience a wonderful stories, got to meet many people who've been, you know, hurt, been disowned from their own family, and many other things they have suffered, and only one thing they were holding on, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The only focus there was to depend on the person that was appeared to them, or they have heard from somebody, or it's just being a, just, you know, glimpse in their dream, the holiness of God. And they're just holding on to that and willingly to take everything to risk to have that fellowship with the one they have been experienced. We got to experience wonderful testimonies in that. So I'm blessed by God to be part of that convention to just, you know, share. So this morning I'm going to share with you guys what God has done in a 62 days mission trip while we were in Pakistan. But first of all, I want to thank you and want to encourage you. Your prayer also awesomely work. If we are alive, because of your prayer. Because of your 1 minute prayer is changing not only us, also you and many others. And I remember when we were in an accident, I was telling all the nurses, I was telling the helicopter pilot when they were, you know, injecting me a lot of painkillers. I told them, take me, don't put me in a sleep. I want to stay up and I want to talk to you guys. And I said, God did not bring me here in United States to die in this car wreck. If he want to do that, it was a wonderful opportunity and he missed that in Pakistan. So I said, you know, I'm grateful. I'm just praising God. I'm just giving thanks to God. And nurses saying, I think he lost his mind. I said, no, I give you 20 times my home address and even my phone number, my wife's phone number. I'm right. I'm just praising God because he haven't finished his mission in our life. And they were shocked. Everybody was shocked and it just rocked their castles. They said, we do these things daily. Even in our own offices, people will spill a coffee and there's nobody around. They will curse God for that one cup of coffee. And you guys just went through the valley of shadow of death and come out and saying, thank God, thank you, Jesus. I said, that is right to do because he's the one who control history. He's the one who plan everything. So it was a wonderful time. I said, you know, we need that time to take some 3 weeks off. So he could not find some way to slow us down. So he found our tire to explode. He's a dynamic God. Anyways, Grace Bible Church, Pakistan, I'm very grateful that God is using us and using you. As much as we are a part of changing history, so you. Your prayer is the awesome desire we have. So I will share with you guys about the 62 days we were in Pakistan, and let me figure out which way this goes. Here's Pakistan, and we are right here, somewhere here. So this is the city called Faisalabad, after my name, not really. And we are here right there. Sahiwal is the city, and we are here about 35 miles away. And just want to let you know, there's so much even persecution in Pakistan, but through all persecution, the beauty of Christ's love is appearing to many. Even the own persecutor visited by Jesus Christ and just changing their souls. They are regretting, like a last story. 5 gunmen got into our home. That's a rabbit trail, but I think it will be good. 5 gunmen got into our home, and my brother Chris was alone with his wife and my other brother wife and my mom, and I think 6 or 7 kids was home. So they got in, start beating him and asking him, where's the money, where's all the wealth, your brother and everybody. So they start asking and questioning and beating him. He said, here's the key, and they start going through the stuff. They found church, you know, properties like laptop, camera, what they, you know, send us all the things through, and church offering. So they stole everything, and the theft, you know, left the home. They called me, they said, this has just happened. I said, just keep praying. God have a purpose for this, you know, this robbery. We keep praying and keep praying, and all of a sudden, the policeman in that area, he said, I'm feeling that it's just, you know, somebody robbed my house. Because church offering is gone, church laptop is gone, church camera is gone, and your personal belonging is gone. It's like a feeling there is some greater burden in my soul that somebody robbed my home. And he said, I will not sit down until I find them. We were amazed. We were just praying, and finally they were tracking the phone, and somehow they found the person, and they track him, they got him, and one by one, seven people was caught, and eight people was involved in this robbery in our home. So they got, long story short, and they confessed not only our but many hundreds of robberies they did, many murders they did, and the policeman said they are going for long time in prison. So my brother Chris, the one who was beaten by them, went later because they call in our home. They said, you know, nobody's there to feed us, nobody's there to help us, and police is not giving them a food, not giving them any lunch or any dinner, only one or two apples a day. That was a part of their punishment, and they said, your family member lives far, so we are not going to feed you. So they were starving five robbers for 5 days. And they said, can you let us talk to the pastor's home? They said, what reason? We just want to talk. So minute Chris got on phone, and they said, we are hungry from past 5 days. Can you bring something to eat? And the policeman who was just a transfer and new one came, he hates Christian. He cannot stand by Christians. So Chris started going with my other brother and serving them food, and they broke down. They just, you know, melted their heart. They said, you know, we knew the day we got in your home, and when we stole the offering and saw the Bible, we knew that we are up against God and this will not go in a good way. So finally they start feeding them, and the policeman came and he said, who's feeding them? Sir, the house they rob. They said, who they are? They are Christian, his pastor's home. And he also come to his realization what kind of people they are. So I'm sharing that because God worked in a mysterious way. It was over and over reminder from Genesis chapter 50 when Joseph was put into slavery, put into the pit, sold, and been to prison, blamed, went through a lot of chaos. But God brought a beauty from chaos. And that's what he did in Pakistan. So thank you for your prayers. And they have met the justice, but they have also repented. They said, we will never do that again. And my brother Chris went over and over as he's bringing food, and he's saying, we are doing that because of Christ. He forgave his punisher and his blamer and his one who was putting a lot of stress on him and doing every evil deed to him. So we are following him. So we are looking forward through this incidents, maybe a prison ministry is opening in Pakistan, so we can go to prisons and tell them. So anyways, that was the rebel trail, sorry. And I think we are on a wrong slide. Let's do it. Yeah, so 62 days we were in Pakistan, and this time it was the most dangerous time to go. Even Carrie had to sign up some papers where to deliver your body and who's going to be recipient of, you know, if anything happened to you. She said, over there, my husband, and over here in the USA, my brother. So it was very dangerous, but, you know, when you are in the palm of God or in the will of God, nothing can stop you. Just like nothing can stop him, nothing will stop you. So I think that's the one. Okay, are you going to fix it? How you do that? I'm not on a timer. Okay. Yeah. Like sometime, you know, people say, oh, he or she have an all-timer. I will say to myself, I and my computer sometime have a some-timer. We forget about it. Maybe it was a good rabbit trail.
Can you talk really fast?
Sure.
Because you got 10 seconds per slide.
Okay. Yeah, that's the church logo. So that was a 62 days on the ground, and that was taking place right before our house. And I learned that man went to, yeah. Yeah, it's a wedding. So I did, you know, two weddings in Pakistan. It was a tremendous blessing for the people, and especially the one girl I did baptize her. And I asked, who led you to the Christ? Who gave you the gospel? She said, you. I said, when? She said, so-and-so Sunday, you were presenting the gospel and saying, if anybody want to trust in Christ, this is your moment, this is your opportunity. And she said, I believe that day. And I was shocked. I said, I'm not going to take, you know, ever not to share gospel in every message that I delivered. So she became a believer, and then she said, I want you to baptize me. And then she recently she said, I want you to marry me too. So I did the marriage ceremonies online in Pakistan through in Arizona when I was there. It was a wonderful blessing to see her. So in 62 days, we had a wonderful privilege to invite over 125 people, and 84 was pastors. And those pastors are just, you know, hungry. There's a lot of people want to serve God, but there's not too much material. So we translated a basic book and the foundation study from Drew Freeman. It has been translated and available free for anyone who desire. So these pastors came and they made a lot of good statements. A lot of good statements. They said, we've been going to many, many conferences, and always pastor end up in debate, argument, or fight, or create a great hate because the different denominations. They said, this is the first conference we are, and nobody have any argue. Nobody even put anybody denominations. I said, Bible don't talk about any denomination. Talk about the person who did everything. So the conference was so awesome, and they were benefits, and now they are praying. Probably this conference is going to take place all over in Pakistan, if Lord's will and creek not rise, and his will be done. Maybe I said it wrong way, sorry. And then we did the Christmas care package. This time we had about 600, I think 70 kids, and that Christmas care package. The theme was armor of God. And always as I'm teaching the armor of God, and I just, you know, got stuck on put the sandals of peace, the good news, and every village, all the new villages. This village, 21 people accepted Christ first time as their Lord and Savior. Over as we count, or just, you know, realize as people were raising their hands, I wanna believe. And there's an old man, he said, you know, a lot of missionary came. They came, read the passage, took the collection, and walk away. Never explain. And that old man told me, he said, you know, never mind. That old man told me, he said, you know, I've been hanging here and my finger is, you know, bent. I want to have a straight relationship with God. What should I do? I said, wonderful question. So we talk. I share the gospel, and he received Christ right there in his household, and he was not shamed. He told his all kids, he said, I should be the leader to tell you all, but I was never introduced to Christ. And in that village, all the villages, over 100 people accepted Christ the first time. and that was the $5 Christmas gift package can, you know, help somebody to live forever and ever. So that was the 62 days. This whole village, they work at brick quills, very poor families, and my brother Chris and Elder Eunice, they went. And they said, do you know that where you will spend eternity? They said, we don't know, but we know we will be in a lake of fire. It's often, you know, amaze me. The souls of men know the depravity in their inside, and they know the right answer that they will be separated from God. But most of the time they have a hard time to connect. How can they be connected with God? So they share with gospel with them. The whole family. Whole family accepted Christ, and it was a wonderful romance of God's goodness and good news in Pakistan. Even people were burned alive, people being, you know, shot, people being put into prison, people being, you know, facing a threat and death. God is still in the business of saving souls. And that's another part of the ministry God is doing. That is the Christmas care package with the school. So by the way, this time we have 170 plus kids in the school. And we just recently built two rooms, and I'm thinking we have to build more two rooms. Because they are coming. A lot of Muslim kids are coming, and Lord is just, you know, sustaining us and keeping us safe. After they are, you know, listening Word of God and memorizing scriptures, reading psalms and memorizing and singing psalms, their family still in their cages. They can't do anything because the whole school is a grace gift. No fee, nothing to charge them, and just show them the love of Christ. And I think that is keeping them, you know, off to not get our throats. So that was wonderful, and this is our congregation, and I believe we are going to build some more room for the congregation too. And the congregation is just delighting in the love of God. They are just being, I call that, to shock some people, they are the fifth gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the fifth gospel of Jesus Christ, to be as a living witness of Christ. And they are doing that through their witness, through their persecution, being put down, being disgraced, being every way they can be. And most of the time that is a draw near the persecutor to see what is the source of your endurance. And that is happening. Like 2 weeks ago, 14 years old young man, walking, minding his own business, not harming anything, anybody. The persecutor, the Muslim families of Muslim people ask, who are you? And he answered, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. The minute he said that, punch, kick, slap, whatever was there, come upon him. They made him unconscious and then poured the gasoline on him, burned him, but he survived. After he shared his testimony, I think 4 days ago, he passed away. He told the whole story, what was the reason, and I think he made a statement, I forgive them. What they did, I forgive them. So that's Chris right there. Chris like Chris. Look like a little bit. So, and I have just some prayer requests. Some prayer requests you can get on the back of the table. My slide's going cuckoo and I'm not yet. And the Angel, that's the material. It's a wonderful material if you like to take it. Angel means Gospel of Jesus. It's an Arabic and Urdu word, and it's a design for the believer to know the answer, to know the details, and know the question before you ask. to any Muslim to start a fellowship or talking to them. So this booklet is very, very helpful. It's for your edification and help to, you know, just trap them into the love of Christ. So if you guys have any question, we can go from there. So that's the material. These are all pastors and evangelists from different areas. It was a wonderful time with Carrie and myself, as much as it was dangerous, but it was a delight. It was more even confident for us to see that God is with us. And then there was like 20 baptism took place, and I was even shocked to know that my mom and dad was saved or became a believer through the gospel I was sharing. So my mom and dad now are safe. My old brothers, two of them just recently got saved on the mission field when we came back, and I'm sharing 25 people got saved. And I asked my sister-in-law, I said, do you know where you will spend eternity? She said, in hell. I said, wow. I said, let me share good news with you before I reach the whole global and miss you guys in heaven. Do you want to believe in Christ? She said, nobody ever told me. I will do anything to have that fellowship with my whole family. I said, you don't have to do anything except the message, the messenger that Jesus Christ came on earth. And she believed, and she said, I'm going to tell my husband. So she, that evening, told him, she said, come home early. I don't know how much time we have. Come home early, forget about the work, and Brother Faisal wanna talk to you. So he came, and he was ready like a mango on the tree, just to fall on the ground. So he came home, I said, you know, I have some serious talk with you. Are you ready to listen? He said, yes. So him and his wife on same day, morning and evening, they became a believer. So it's been blessing. That's another family we were just walking through. She is addicted to LSD, the leaf that make you fly like a F-16 American airplane, like, you know, when you are, what it's called, hallucinogenic, whatever, hallucinogenic. So that family also became a believer. And the school function, there was about maybe 20 families of Muslims and many other Christians, and I said, is there anybody here who's born again? And she was the one who boldly stand up. She said, I'm born again, and I know I will spend eternity with Jesus face to face. So a lot of great thing happens, and I think those are just encouragement for us to continue to see God is with us. God is with us, and He is, because His word is faithful. So if you guys have any question, I think I got 36 seconds. Otherwise,
when are you guys going back to Pakistan? What's your schedule?
Schedule look like, I just got my American passport. It's sitting in Arizona post office. They need my signature. And end of October. That is our desire and goal and focus, to go end of October. At least at this time I'm going probably more than 6 months as the American. Yeah, it was wonderful time. And the day I took oath and denounced my loyalty to Pakistan and announced my you know, loyalty and my devotion to U.S. Constitution and everything, I said, I will wear this pin, this Old Glory, every day on my heart. Yes, sir.
Could you share your testimony with us, how you became a believer?
Sure, I got it. Okay. I was just telling yesterday, I said, you know, I was going to be the fourth generation, a Satanist worshiper, and follow my grandfather and dad because they were involved in black magic. We were worshiping Hinduism, all 3 million gods, And there was a, you know, pick and choose. You can have a fire god, you can have a money god, you can have a sex god, you can have a, you know, a god who can destroy or god who can manipulate, many, many things. So I was devoted to one who is it's like a defender. And his name is called Hanuman. He looked like a monkey, have a big tail. So he's the defender of another two deities in Hinduism. So we were involved in Hinduism, in Islam. My dad was the one who often go to the ritual is called Chia group. And Chia group does 10-day devotions to cut themselves with a sharp knife on a chain. So my dad, sometime I will take a picture, his back is just full of scars. And his head also have a big scar because that was his devotion to Ali. So we were involved in the Muslim part of worship, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Catholicism, because, and even some Book of Revelation. We were taking that and reciting and using LSD to communicate with spirits. And we have our own demons. We could harm people, heal people, make a, like, you know, what is the website? Christian Mingles. We can take people, you know, from this part of the earth and from there and make a match. So we were doing a lot of crazy, crazy stuff under Satan's power. But, you know, how shall somebody know if, you know, nobody tell them? So somebody came to our town and he started, you know, asking all the youth come to church, and I was playing Congo. It's the instrument. He said, we don't have anybody. Can you come and play? So I was there for, you know, what is called approbation lust. Just me. And everybody was, you know, admiring. Oh, he played very good. Thank you for coming. This and that. And I like it. It was like, you know, sugar on a donut. Wow, tastes good. So I was going, but, you know, as they were teaching and preaching, that verse in John 14:6 always was haunting me, always encouraging me, sometimes, you know, making me question, I am the way and the truth and life, and there's no one other, no one like me that can lead you to Father. So, and then as they were talking about the love of God and His sacrifice and Jesus' forgiveness and all kind of things, those things was making sense in a positive way comparison to our devotion to all the evil one. They were the ones saying, devote to me yourself, give your sacrifice, give whatever you can, and if we mess up, they're still not pleased with us. But with Jesus, I will do everything. I am coming to you. I am giving you life. I have given everything. And you are just the one who take and enjoy. And I want to just have a fellowship with you. So when I compare that, it just changed the whole picture. And John 14:6 become my, you know, new birth passage. He's the only one. He's the one who hold truth. Actually, He's the life. He's the truth and He's the way. He's don't talking about, I know about the way. He is. So it changed my life. By the age of 16, the pastor who invited me to the church, I became a believer in the age of 16. And then I decided I want to tell everybody, especially starting with my own family. So it took for five years, a lot of English. I can't find those words in English dictionary. All those cuss words, can't find in. The one was introduced to me by my father when he was, you know, just saying all the bad things to me. Because I was shaking their cages and telling them that how wrong they are from generations. And they were blaming a lot of stuff. They were saying, if we put any books on a donkey do not become a scholar. And I was telling them a Bible and about God, about faithfulness. So it was like a long stress and separation and a lot of, you know, bad mouthing from my family. But God's grace is sufficient to take you from everything to anywhere. Yes, sir.
Here in America, we have a lot of television, Muslim stations. Muslims are always talking about how they believe in Jesus, how they worship Jesus in their own way, as well as everyone else. Now, when you have people that say they believe in Jesus, how do you make it clear to them that He is the way? Do they sometimes maintain that, well, Jesus is one of the good people, or do they really believe?
Sometimes that is the biggest problem, because in Hinduism and in Islam, sometimes they will take Jesus as a prophet of Allah, sometimes as a moral teacher, sometimes as a good prophet from Allah or slave of Allah. There's not too many people make the distinction between those, because there's a passages in the Quran that's for Muslims. If you not believe the son of Mary, you are not really Muslim. So they have to do that. Yeah, and it's in the Injil. There's a lot of good information that, you know, can help to talk to them and clarify those confusion. And when those confusion is, you know, properly has been identified and told them, then it makes sense. No, he's not just a moral teacher. He's just not a slave of Allah. He's just not just a good prophet. He is the one who said, I am in flesh, come to your rescue. And then everything, all the pieces come together in the box. So, and a good way to reach Muslims, continue to show love of Christ, continue to pray. Even less witness, more prayer. That's what I'll ask every time I go to Pakistan. Lord, I cannot go into their home, but nothing can stop you. If you wanna show them Hawaii Island and you are walking on the water, go ahead. Make my day. Sorry, go ahead.
I've heard on Christian radio that a lot of Muslims, or I've just heard testimonies from Muslims and saying that they, and you're kind of talking about it, that they have had dreams and that God has revealed Himself in other ways even than other people. Is that true?
Yes, it's happening a lot. It's happening a lot in a Muslim community. Either they're having a dreams, or either having a unexplainable presence. Like last night, yesterday, Tahmina, when they were, you know, bombed their whole village in Bangalore, and they were running for their life, and she said, as they were coming to take them away, she saw the presence that was unexplainable. She did not know the name, who he was, but that present was going with him, her, all the time. And once she came to Utah somewhere and introduced by Christians the name of Jesus, she knew that's the present I felt 7 years ago, and that's the present is known, and I know the puzzle, his name is Jesus. So God is doing surgery in an amazing way. Yes, sir.
I was at the conference. Were you there when the chairman of the organization talked about the experience that the woman had? Yeah, I forget the chairman's name of the gospel.
Abraham.
Abraham.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the other one.
Or Dr. Fields. Or Dr. Fields.
The chairman?
Yeah.
Not the founder, the chairman.
Oh,
yeah.
He went through all the slides.
Dr. Sandra.
And there was the woman that had, she dreamed of the chairman. That, you know, he brought Jesus to him.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. She hung on to him for 10 or 15 minutes. She would not let him go.
Yeah.
And then, after that, she got down and she was just wrapped her hands around her feet, around his feet. And he was asking, what's going on here? She felt where she needs it. And he got translated. No, she's thanking Jesus for it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was amazing.
It's amazing.
That was shared. It was a vision. It just blew me away.
Yeah. She said, you know, you were in my dream. You were the one. And I know you. And they never met before. So, you know, how now we can say the essence of God, the sovereignty of God, is beyond our little head, because He is omnipotent, omniscient, sovereign, righteous, and loyal. That's why it's called sovereignty of God. He does things, and He's not bound by chains. We can bound a lion, but not God. That's why I'm working on a little booklet, Unboxing God. Unboxing God with the essence of God and asking God wisdom to explain a little bit whatever the human way we can understand. Unboxing God and unleashing the power and the wisdom of God. So, I don't know when it will happen, maybe in heaven. But those are just, you know, desire to do. And I want to just leave with this passage. It's in 2 Corinthians. I got my smartphone. Smartphone make me smart sometime. 2 Corinthians 5:14-16. It's a whole passage. I just want to, you know, focus on therefore. So, 14, verse 14 said, "For the love of Christ controls us, having canceled this, counsel conclude this, that one die for all, therefore all die. He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we know Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anybody in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, old things passed away." I just want to encourage us all. Do not look anybody, nationality, color, tribe, tongue, or face, and walk away. Somebody made a quote, he said, "Call no man common because Christ died for all." So, if God brings any terrorist in your spiritual influence, you may be the person to him or her as a Paul, as a Luke, as a John, or as a Jesus. You have a wonderful opportunity from God to lead them to Christ. It's easy to shoot them, but it's very hard to lead them, the one source of life, that is Jesus Christ. So Christ died for all. It's mean, like this morning our brother was saying, for all, entire world, for everybody, absolutely. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So whoever believe in Him shall not go to Hades, perish, or spend the rest of his life in purgatory? No, but in the presence of God. Thank you very much for your time, and I think I'm not taking so much time of Brother Phil. I'm always on time. Thank you so much, and sure, I'm looking forward to be with my wife to do some hunting, if it's God's will. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this day. And I met so many wonderful, wonderful your disciples. They love you. And thank you, Father, for their prayer, for their helping hands, their treasure, and their, you know, support to glorify you. Father, I pray that love earnestly more and more overflow through their lives, and anywhere they walk, they see, anywhere they walk and talk and stand, people see Jesus in them. And it may change anybody who is seeking, troubling, confused. And thank you, Father, for my wonderful wife. She's holding the fort. So, until we meet each other, keep us all safe and use us all to the glory of Jesus Christ. We ask these all things in Christ's name. Amen. Godspeed, let's roll, Americans. In a camp. Oh, here, there, or in the air.